Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into something that's, well, everywhere. Artificial intelligence. Not the distant future stuff, but the AI that's already part of our daily routines. I mean, think about it. Your navigation app getting you through traffic, Face ID on your phone, even dictating a text message. That's all AI. It's come a long way since John McCarthy first coined the term back in 1955. It's just part of life now. But here's the real question we're tackling. How well are businesses actually using it? We're diving into this big Accenture analysis, looking at AI maturity across companies worldwide. And the stat that really sets up our mission today, most companies are, well, barely scratching the surface.
That's absolutely the core finding. We looked at, I think it was around 1,200 companies globally. And yeah, despite all the talk and investment, there's this huge difference in performance. So our goal today is really to unpack what that top slice, the AI achievers, what are they doing differently? How are they turning, you know, AI practice into real performance? Maybe we should start with the definition itself. AI maturity, it's basically measuring how well an organization has really mastered all the different AI capabilities. And crucially, combining them in the right way, technology, strategy, people, culture, to get results. You know, for customers, shareholders, even employees.
Okay, let's get into that gap then, because the numbers, they really are pretty stark, aren't they?
Yeah.
Looking at this analysis, what slice of companies have actually truly figured this out?
Right now, it's only about 12%. Just 12% of firms globally fit the profile of AI achievers. They're the ones really using AI maturity for, like, superior growth and genuine business transformation.
12%, that's wow. Yeah. That means the vast majority, like 88%, are putting money into AI but not getting those game-changing results. That's a huge amount of investment sort of fizzling out.
It is, yeah. The biggest group by far, 63% of companies, they fall into what we labeled AI experimenters. They're, you know, dipping their toes in, running some pilots here and there, but they haven't cracked how to make AI truly systemic or scale it up effectively.
And the reward for getting into that top 12%, it's massive, financially speaking. I saw in the sources, even before the pandemic, these achievers were already seeing 50% higher revenue growth on average.
Yeah.
50%. That's not just tweaking things. That's like a completely different league.
Exactly. It shows that this maturity gap isn't just academic. It translates directly to the bottom line. And it's speeding up. We're seeing estimates that the share of company revenue that's AI influenced is set to roughly triple between 2018 and 2024. It's becoming the core engine, not just some add-on.
That brings up the speed question. We all remember how digital transformation felt like it took forever. How fast is this AI shift happening in comparison?
That's one of the most striking things. The estimate is that this AI transformation, it's happening something like 16 months faster than the digital one did.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you think about that, it means getting serious about AI maturity isn't really a choice anymore, is it? That window to get a real competitive edge, it's closing. Fast.
Okay, so if 63% are experimenters and only 12% are achievers, how did the researchers figure out what separates them? How is this framework actually developed?
Well, they used AI to study AI, essentially. They applied machine learning models to all this survey data, which let them see patterns and group capabilities in a much more nuanced way than just, you know, asking simple questions. And the key insight that came out is that success isn't about just one thing. You've got to master two different types of capabilities at the same time.
Two types. Okay, what are they?
So first, there are the foundational capabilities. Think of these as the table stakes. You absolutely need them just to play the game. Things like solid cloud platforms, good data management and governance, the right architecture. Without these, you're basically stuck.
Right, the essentials.
Exactly. But then you also need the differentiation capabilities. These are the things that actually let you pull ahead of the pack. We're talking about a clear AI strategy, real C-suite sponsorship, embedding a culture of innovation, that kind of stuff.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like having the engine and the driver who knows where to go. But hang on, if foundational stuff is just essential, why did they need complex machine learning to point that out? Isn't it obvious you need clean data?
That's a fair point. No. But the ML helped uncover the specific combination and, maybe more importantly, the level of mastery needed. Lots of companies say they have good data management, right? But the achievers have it industrialized, running at scale. And by splitting these two, foundational versus differentiation, it really highlights why the other groups are stuck.
Okay, tell us about those middle groups. There's another 25% or so in there who aren't experimenters but aren't achievers either.
Right. So you've got the AI builders. They make up about 12% of the market. These guys are strong on the foundational side. They've built great platforms. Their data is probably pretty clean.
Okay. So tech savvy.
Very. But They're only average when it comes to differentiation. They have the tech infrastructure, but they might lack that strong innovation culture, or the senior leadership isn't fully bought in, or there isn't a clear strategy for actually using the tech across the business.
Ah, so we built the highway, but nobody's driving on it effectively. Yeah. That must be frustrating.
Totally. It's like stalled potential, tech rich, but maybe strategy poor. Then flip that and you get the AI innovators, about 13%. They're strong on differentiation. They've got the CEO backing, great training programs, a bold vision, but their foundational capabilities are just average. So they have the big ideas and the top-down push, but they maybe lack the robust, scalable tech backbone to really execute those ideas widely and reliably.
Got it. So it's that combination again. Which brings us back to the achievers, the top 12%. The report calls it a mastery of multitasking, right?
Yeah.
Pulling together the strategy, the tech, the people.
Precisely. And the payoff is clear. We saw that number. Achievers are 3.5 times more likely than the experimenters to see AI influencing over 30% of their total revenue.
But let's make that concrete. The Metro de Madrid example really stood out to me. An old system using AI for something really tangible.
Yeah, that's a great case study. They used AI algorithms, sifting through huge amounts of data, things like air temperature in the tunnels, passenger flows, even electricity price fluctuations.
Yeah, and there's data.
They managed to cut their annual energy consumption by 25%. 25%. That's a huge direct impact. And it comes from mastering both the tech and the strategy.
Okay, so that really shows the art beyond just the algorithms. The research then boils this down to 5 key success factors, right? The things achievers actually do.
That's right. 5 core things that separate them. And the first one is all about commitment. Champion AI as a strategic priority for the entire organization.
Meaning it can't just be an IT project?
Absolutely not. It has to come right from the top. The data shows 83% of achievers have formal senior sponsorship compared to just 56% of experimenters. The CEO, the C-suite, they have to own it.
And it's not just sponsorship. It's about embedding it in the culture,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Using AI as a way to experiment and grow.
Exactly. Almost half, 48% of achievers build innovation right into their core strategies compared to only a third of experimenters. It becomes structural, not just a side project.
There's that quote from the German auto parts CEO saying AI went from not critical 5 years ago to like an 8 on the importance scale today. That speed of strategic shift seems key.
It really defines it. And that leadership commitment naturally flows into the second factor. Invest heavily in talent to get more from AI investments.
So it's not just about buying tech. It's about the people using it.
Right. AI fluency needs to spread through the whole company. Achievers take training seriously. 78% have mandatory AI training for most employees. And that's not just engineers, it's everyone, right up to the C-suite.
That's way higher than the experimenters. It sounds like if factor one is getting the leadership will, factor two is building the company-wide skill.
Well put. And it's not just about hiring PhDs in machine learning. Achievers have proactive talent strategies. They hire specialists you might not expect, like social scientists or ethicists. They focus on building diverse, multidisciplinary teams because AI challenges are rarely just tech problems.
The Exelon story you mentioned earlier really highlights that retraining existing employees.
Yeah,
right?
That's such a powerful example. Exelon, the U.S. utility, set up an analytics academy. And this one employee, Jeffrey Swiatek, he went from being a maintenance worker to a quantitative engineer through their training.
Wow.
And the predictive software he helped develop using his on-the-ground knowledge combined with new skills. It saved the company an estimated $1 million over 8 years. It just shows the huge value in upskilling your own people.
Okay, factor three. Industrialize AI tools and teams to create an AI core. What does AI core mean in practice?
Think of the AI core as the operational engine. It's the platform that manages the whole machine learning lifecycle from building models, testing them, deploying them, monitoring them. And crucially, it often provides self-service tools so different teams can build and deploy AI applications more easily.
So it's about moving beyond one-off projects to something repeatable and scalable.
Exactly. It's the factory floor for AI. And that's why achievers are 25% more likely than experimenters to actually scale their AI pilots across the whole company. They have the machinery to do it.
Like the Procter & Gamble example with explainable AI.
Yes. P&G uses these algorithms to suggest improvements for products, like, say, dish soap formulas. And the explainable part is key.
Explainable AI, what does that mean for P&G day-to-day?
It means the AI doesn't just spit out an answer like, use more of chemical X.
Yeah.
It provides the reasoning why it's making that recommendation. This builds trust with the engineers. They understand the suggestion, which means, you know, less need for endless physical testing, faster product launches, more confidence, speed and trust hand in hand.
That trust element leads right into the fourth factor, doesn't it? Design AI responsibly from the start.
It absolutely does. This is becoming more and more critical, both for customer trust and for navigating regulations. Achievers get this, they're 53% more likely to have responsible by design practices baked in.
So it's not an afterthought, it's part of the initial design.
Correct. The goal is to build systems that are, you might say, regulation ready. It's proactive risk management, and frankly, it builds confidence with investors and customers too. It's actually a competitive advantage now.
Are there frameworks guiding this, like the Singapore example?
Yeah, the Monetary Authority of Singapore's Veritas Initiative is a good one. They laid out guidance using the AFA8 principles that's fair, ethical, accountable, and transparent.
Accountable, meaning you know who or what is responsible if the AI makes a mistake. That seems vital.
It is. It's about building that institutional trust by designing these principles in from day one, not trying to patch things up later.
Okay, and the fifth and final factor.
Yeah.
Prioritize long and short-term AI investments. It's not just how much you spend, but how you spend it.
Exactly. The quality and the strategic focus matter. Achievers do spend significantly more. They put 28% of their total tech budgets into AI in 2021, double what they did in 2018, and they plan to hit 34% by 2024.
So they see it as an ongoing journey, not a one-time spend.
Absolutely. They understand there's no peak AI. It's continuous evolution. And it's often about foundational transformation, not just buying software. Think of Walgreens Boots Alliance migrating to advanced cloud databases and analytics. That enabled them to build about 100 high-value AI products for things like optimizing inventory and pricing. That kind of scale requires a sustained long-term investment view.
Okay, that really pulls it all together. We've seen the huge risks for the experimenters and the massive rewards for the achievers. And looking forward, that projection is startling the share of achievers. More than doubling from 12% now to maybe 27% by 2024. That competitive window is closing incredibly fast.
It really is. The time for just experimenting seems to be running out.
And it's worth stressing again, this isn't just about the money, right? Achievers perform better across the board. They score higher on customer experience. They're leaders in using AI for sustainability. It underlines that AI maturity is as much about people and strategy as it is the tech itself.
That's the key takeaway, I think. What the achievers are doing is constantly raising the bar by mastering this combination of factors. Using AI for business problems isn't fundamentally new, maybe, but the mastery of weaving together technology, talent, strategy, responsibility, and investment, that seems to be what defines real success now. So for you, the listener, maybe the final thought to mull over is this. How is your organization really working to institutionalize a data and AI culture? Is there clear accountability for the AI strategy that sits outside of just the IT department? Because answering that question, well, that might be the difference between staying an experimenter or becoming an achiever.
That's a powerful place to leave it. Fantastic insights. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today. We'll see you next time.